With sports leagues around the world shutting down because of the coronavirus, a number of aging pro athletes might have played their last game much earlier than expected.
One of them is 43-year-old Vince Carter, the only NBA player to play in four different decades.
Vince is getting ready to check back in so the fans get their wish. Hey, who knows what's going to happen, but if there's no more basketball for a while after tonight, Vince is going to go out on the floor.
Today, The Athletic's Chris Kirschner joins us to look back at Carter's incredible career from his explosion onto the scene in the late 1990s.
Carter, oh, Vince Carter, a whirling dervish going to the hoop.
That's one of the best you will ever see.
To his complicated relationship with the city of Toronto, where he started his career.
From North Carolina, 6'6 guard, number 15, Vince Carter.
To his decision to play for the lowly Atlanta Hawks at the end of his career.
He never wanted to be that 15th man on the bench who would never play in a game. If he was going to win a ring, he wanted to win it being a contributor.
And though he likely won't be getting the send-off he deserves, we'll relive what might have been his final moments in the NBA.
Vince Carter leaves the floor a hero.
From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Kavitha Davidson.
And I'm Anders Kelto. It's Friday, March 20th, and this is The Lead.
It felt like something great was happening.
There was just something about the emotion and that moment.
Faster. The failures of the past don't matter because we got this guy.
I've never seen anything like that.
That's not good news.
This isn't a story where you interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
So, Chris, let's start by talking about Vince Carter's time in Toronto. Obviously, we know now that the Raptors are the reigning NBA champs, but it was a completely different story in the 90s when Vince Carter arrived.
I remember an interview, actually, I did with Vince last year, and he was talking about nobody cared about basketball in Toronto because, you know, the Raptors were not good before he got there.
They missed layups, they missed jams, they missed jump shots. You name it, they missed it. In fact, at 68 points and a 30.9 shooting percentage, this marked the worst offensive output in team history.
And when Vince really got there, that's when basketball took off. He was, you know, the high flyer, half man, half amazing.
Vince driving over Stackhouse to the cup with a right-handed dunk. Are you kidding me? Air Canada soaring here in Motown.
His nickname at first was Air Canada. Vince was the guy in Toronto.
Well, I'll tell you what, put the name up on the marquee. The next star in the NBA, Vince Carter.
He really put the Raptors on the map, and he helped the Raptors get to the playoffs for the first time. What we've seen over the past, you know, several years in the NBA is we've seen Canadian-born players come into the league, and a lot of those guys credit Vince for really starting their love of basketball. So he was incredibly important, one of the most influential Canadian, not Canadian-born, but Canadian players to ever play in not only basketball, but sports in general.
In those early years, Vince Carter had some just legendary highlights, right? He won the dunk contest in 2000. And frankly, like, if you were a basketball fan in 2000, you could have said, we can just cancel all subsequent dunk contests after this.
Yeah, I mean, I was 8 years old at the time. So just watching it, I mean, you're just in awe. But even going back now and rewatching that performance, it's incredible. It's arguably the best dunk contest performance that we've ever seen.
All right, here is Vince Carter with his first shot.
60, going against the grain. That is unbelievable.
This building just exploded.
How fluid he was, how amazing it was to just watch him fly through the air.
The judges are coming over the table to congratulate Vince Carter. This is unheard of.
Oh my goodness gracious, it is over.
It was one of the best moments in All-Star game history, and it's something that will live well beyond Vince's career and something that we'll be talking about for years to come.
Later that year at the Sydney Olympics, in a game between the U.S. and France, Vince gave us yet another highlight reel. He jumped over Frederick Weiss.
Carter inside. Oh!
Woo! And the crowd responds to a spectacular dunk from Vince Carter.
Just look at this spectacular takeoff. He jumped over his head. I mean, Frederick Weiss, you got to know, man, a guy's coming.
I mean, it's arguably the best in-game dunk ever, and I feel like it's hard to argue otherwise. You know, Vince is not a seven-footer. He's 6'6", and he jumped literally over the man's head in the Olympics. And it's funny, too, because I remember Vince himself was saying that in the moment, he had no idea that he actually had jumped over him.
I get the ball, and I just try to 1-2 dribble attack. And I'm just trying to just be an athlete, just jump up there and then figure it out from there. So I never actually knew I jumped over him until later on.
Well, that's like game. You said, that's all instinct.
Yeah,
that's nothing
that's all
that
it
you
was.
Plan. That's nothing that you think about.
I didn't even think I could do something like that.
To think about jumping over someone who is as tall as 7 feet, it just doesn't seem comprehensible. And Vince made it look so effortless. And that's exactly what Vince's career was. When it came to dunks, it was just effortless.
So Vince was very much on the rise as this explosive and unbelievably entertaining star. But in the 2001 playoffs, his career hit a pivotal moment.
2001, it was their best season with Vince. And there was definitely some controversy with that with Vince, because in those playoffs against Allen Iverson and the Philadelphia 76ers and went to seven games, Vince actually on the day of game seven went back to North Carolina and walked across the stage for his graduation because it was a promise he made to his mother.
There were some people who questioned, including some of your teammates, who questioned your decision to go to North Carolina considering the magnitude of this game. What's your response to that criticism?
I have no response. You know, I have no comment for it. And, you know, the fact of the matter is I'm here, I'm ready to play.
You know, a lot of people are calling this the biggest game in Toronto Raptors franchise history. If you take a step back, though, and look at it that way, can you understand that there would be concern?
I don't care. I'm accomplishing two things. I'm in the biggest game, and I've accomplished the biggest thing in my life, and that's to graduate. So,
you know, fast forward a few hours, Vince takes the final shot in game seven.
Carter trying to get free.
And that's really where things started turning for Vince and the fans of Toronto, because they felt like he probably shouldn't have done that. And, you know, if he didn't go, who knows if he makes the shot? I don't know. I think it's just a weird situation. And that was probably where things started to get a little weird for Vince in Toronto.
So the next year, Vince missed the playoffs because of knee surgery, and the team started to lose a lot of games over the next few years. And Vince was reportedly not happy.
I asked Vince about this, you know, last season, and he was kind of brushed it off a little bit. But what reportedly happened was he wanted a new start. You know, he felt like the Raptors were not going on a trajectory where they were going to be in playoff contention. And he felt like he just didn't fit in the team's plans anymore. So what happened was he just went to management and, you know, his agent and requested out of Toronto, and they decided to trade him to New Jersey for a package that included Alonzo Mourning.
And then things got even dicier with his fans back in Toronto, because after he arrived in New Jersey, he did this interview where it almost sounded like he was saying he didn't really go all out for the Raptors.
Do you think Vince Carter has pushed himself as hard as he should have pushed himself?
In years past, no. I was just fortunate enough to have the talent and be able to, you know, you get spoiled when you're able to do a lot of things and you see that and you really don't have to work at it. But now I think with so much, with all the injuries and the things that have gone on, I have to work a little harder. and I'm a little hungry.
He was kind of upset that people would actually think that he wasn't trying hard, but his numbers did increase pretty dramatically. You know, he was averaging 16 points per game in Toronto that final season, and then he goes to New Jersey and is averaging over 27. But he felt like the Nets were using him in ways that Toronto wasn't.
How I was used in Toronto and how I'm used in Jersey is totally different. You know, so you know, I think people just want to feel that way just because, yeah, they're mad that I left. And I understand that, and I don't have a problem with that.
Well, and it's weird to think about this now, but at the time, he was a villain in Toronto.
Yeah, it was really bad. You know, that first game back in Toronto when he was in New Jersey, he was viciously booed.
From North Carolina, 6'6", guard number 15, Vince Carter.
People were wearing baby bibs that had, you know, number 15.
In a bib, Leo.
A wide assortment of signs and paraphernalia. Of course, Vince Carter's numerous injuries while a Raptor being exploited with that sign.
People were wearing shirts that said FUVC. It was really vicious.
I feel like we're in a European soccer match.
These fans have been waiting a long time for this game.
It definitely got to him because, you know, he felt like he grew up there. That was his first NBA team. And to see that fan reaction, it really got to him. And those first few seasons when he was with New Jersey, the fans just were very, very relentless.
With home security, there are basically two ways you can go about protecting your home. There's the traditional way where you wait weeks for a technician to do a messy installation that costs a small fortune. Yikes. Or there's the other way, our sponsor, SimpliSafe. For me, the choice was simple because SimpliSafe is everything you need in a home security system. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard inside. But what's truly remarkable is you can set up this system all by yourself. It takes 30 minutes to an hour tops, and you'll have an army of highly trained security experts ready to dispatch police to your home at a moment's notice 24/7. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Go to simplysafe.com/lead today, and you'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. Go now and be sure you go to simplysafe.com/lead so they know we sent you. That's simplysafe.com/LEAD.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business.
So, Chris, this vitriol from Raptors fans toward Vince Carter, it lasts about a decade.
You've been here for a long time. You've seen Vince Carter at his best.
My first year was Vince Carter's first year.
Will they ever forget?
No. No, there'll be a segment that we'll never forget.
During that time, Vince becomes a journeyman, essentially. You know, he goes from the Nets to the Magic to the Suns to the Mavs to the Grizzlies. He's booed relentlessly every time he goes back to Toronto with any of these teams. And in 2014, when he's back in Toronto, there's just this amazing moment when the team honors him with a video tribute.
Vince Carter has received a standing ovation that has brought tears to his eyes. They just showed a video tribute of Carter on the big screen. At first, a lot of fans started booing, and then they started rising in crescendo. The guy they used to call Air Canada has been cheered loudly. And maybe there is some closure.
It was really awesome to see that reaction because that's when it really, you know, started turning into, you know, him being celebrated once again. And just from talking with him for these past two seasons, you could tell how much Toronto means to him. He just loves that city. He's invested in that city. He's done a ton of camps in Toronto. He's tried his best to give back to the Canadian-born players who grew up watching him. And, you know, to finally see that back in 2014 for himself, it really meant everything to him because he had finally felt that he was forgiven.
And it's hard to pinpoint exactly why Toronto fans forgave him, but do you think this is just a matter of time passing? In this case, a lot of time passing.
Yeah, I think so. And Toronto, they were starting a new chapter with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. You know, those were Toronto's new guys. You know, they became the face of the franchise. So I think it was a matter of just them becoming relevant once again in the NBA.
Do you think that Canadian basketball fans, just once they were able to kind of turn the page with this new guard and with, you know, a new look for their team, that they were able to really just kind of sit back and evaluate what Vince Carter meant to basketball in their country?
Absolutely, because when he got to Toronto, there were no kids playing in the streets and dribbling basketballs. You didn't see basketball hoops on every block or, you know, people wearing Raptors jerseys. That really changed when, you know, that team and himself in particular really put basketball on the forefront of people's minds. So I think that was probably a big reason why Canadian fans over time, you know, said, you know what, Vince did a lot for Toronto and this country, and it's probably time to turn that page.
Well, so now Vince is 43. He's the only player who has played in four different decades. You've covered him with the Hawks, where he's been the last couple of years. How is his role different now in the league than it was back in his superstar days, both on and off the court?
Yeah, I mean, on the court, obviously, due to his age and physical limitations, he's not dunking the ball anymore. It's a rare treat to see Vince dunk. He does it in warmups, like he still has it, but in game situation, it's just rare. So on the court, you know, he's more so just become a three-point specialist. Off the court, he's the father figure in the locker room. He's the guy that the rookies want to turn to and get as much advice and as much wisdom as they possibly can.
That's what it's all about, man, just sharpening the minds and opening new ideas and opportunities for them and be tough on them and just get them ready. Do the best I can. You know, that's what
he loves when the rookies and second year, third year players ask him questions because, you know, he wants to impart what he learned throughout his entire journey into the new age. Like he wants his experiences to live through them. And especially with this Hawks team, it's a really, really young roster. And he's pretty much an extension of the coaching staff for the Hawks. He's the one showing guys how to properly position their feet when they're shooting threes. He's the one telling Trae Young how to navigate the media and how to navigate becoming a superstar in the league. Like he loves that. And I think it's rare to have someone like Vince, who's obviously going to be a future Hall of Famer, want to take time out of his day to make the next generation as good as he possibly can.
And perhaps one of the more poetic moments that we've seen in a superstar's late career, Vince did throw down a dunk to pass the 25,000 point threshold last year.
Gibson, Vince fires. No good. Herter gets it back to him, and Vince dunks it for 25,000. Welcome to the pantheon of the greatest scorers in NBA history.
It was awesome, and it happened against the Raptors, too. You know, just being at that game, you could tell that he really, really wanted to get the 25,000 points against the Raptors.
I'm good now. I'm happy. I'm thankful for this opportunity to be in a very elite group. I mean, you know, I don't care if famer or not. I'm in a group where, you know, when you talk about scoring, it's not many can say that they have this many points. So, I'm just thankful.
The Raptors they understood what was going on. So they kind of, you know, backed off a little bit on defense, especially when he drove down the lane and got that dunk and got his 25,000th point. They understood the moment. So that was really cool to see because, again, like this is a guy who's an icon in Raptors history. And to watch the current iteration of the Raptors do that for Vince, it was really special to be there because you could tell how much respect Vince has. And that's probably the coolest part of these past two seasons. You go to any arena, Detroit, the guys in the Pistons locker room just have an immense amount of respect for Vince. He was one of the guys they looked up to when they were younger. And to just watch the smiles on their face and see their reaction to getting to play him, it's awesome. And that's something, again, that's part of Vince's legacy, just how beloved he became, especially in this latter half of his career.
So there are a couple of unique aspects to the final years of Vince's career. And one is that he never chased the ring, right? Like, he never demanded to go to a contender to get a championship. You know, he agreed to sign and re-sign with Atlanta, which, let's be honest, is a lottery-bound team. Why do you think Vince Carter was not obsessed with getting a championship?
That was one of the first questions I asked Vince when he first signed with Atlanta. You know, I asked him, like, you're bound for the Hall of Fame. You don't have a championship. You haven't really come close to winning a championship. He's never played in an NBA Finals game. Why go this route? Why sign with a team like Atlanta? And he said that's just not part of his DNA. Like, he never wanted to be that 15th man on the bench who would never play in a game. If he was going to win a ring, he wanted to win it being a contributor.
Well, so Vince Carter might not have gotten the send-off that he expected or deserved, but it certainly was beautiful. Can you walk us through what might have been his final NBA game last Wednesday?
So the NBA announced the suspension of the season. It was in the fourth quarter.
But the news is that the NBA has announced tonight that it has suspended its season until further notice. Now, we'll have more details.
It took me like 15-ish minutes after that to realize that this is probably Vince Carter's final game. So the fans, I think when the fans saw that the NBA announced that the season was going to be suspended, a lot of them were chanting, "We want Vince, we want Vince." We want Vince, because they figured that, you know, this was probably going to be the final time that they saw him on an NBA floor. I ran down to the Hawks bench because I figured that something was going to happen with Vince. I saw his teammates trying to push him toward the scorer's table. And Vince is not one of those guys who really likes all the attention. So he was trying to avoid it. But, you know, it got overwhelming at some points. And after a while, he just gave in to his teammates. And Lloyd Pierce, the Hawks head coach, checked Vince in with about 19 seconds left on the clock.
They're going to give it to Vince. He's going to take a three and hit it. Even the Knicks are applauding. New York dribbles out the final seconds. Vince Carter leaves the floor a hero.
And he got pretty emotional after the game.
He talked for about 20-ish minutes in a post-game press conference, and if this was the end of it, he was going to be fine with it. He said himself that he was at peace.
I'm appreciative, but, you know, I do my time and just walk out the door is okay with me, you know, believe it or not, but it's cool. Believe it or not, it's cool. The game's been good.
When I asked him about, you know, if he had any family in attendance, because, you know, this was likely the final game, that's when he actually started getting emotional, because he only had one of his friends there.
Nah, just my boy, who I made come back here. That's it.
His children weren't there. So that part was really difficult, because, you know, they're probably not going to have another opportunity to see him, you know, playing an NBA game. So I think that part was the part that really got to him. It didn't matter that, you know, his final 15 games weren't going to be played. It was just the fact that, you know, he didn't really have any family there. And I think that's what he wanted the most.
How do you think Vince Carter will be remembered by basketball fans? What's his legacy?
I think he is probably the best in-game dunker we have seen. And it's unfortunate, though, that that's his legacy, because those first few seasons in Toronto, you could see him becoming one of the game's greatest players. There was a time where it was looking like Vince was going to be one of those next all-time just legends. And those knee injuries really set him back, and he never really reached his full potential. you know, he peaked very, very early. And for over a decade now, like, he's been a six man and journeyman like we spoke of. And it's unfortunate because it's also a career where you look back on and say, you know, what could have been if he didn't have these injuries? The players talk about, you know, looking up to Michael Jordan and looking up to Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. Vince Carter, at one point, he was the guy you wanted to emulate in your yard, or he was the guy you wanted to emulate on the streets. I grew up in the Bronx, and not a lot of green space in the Bronx, but, you know, whenever there was a hoop, you wanted to try and throw down a dunk between your legs because Vince Carter was doing that. He was the guy you wanted to be like when you were older. And for my age, I'm 27, and a lot of these kids in the NBA, my age and even younger, like, he was the guy who was the definition of cool.
Well, thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you.
You can follow Chris Kirshner's coverage of the Atlanta Hawks at theathletic.com.
Here are some other stories we're following at The Lead. New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton has tested positive for the coronavirus, becoming the first confirmed case in the NFL. Payton said he is fatigued but didn't suffer any respiratory issues. He's self-quarantined at home and says he's looking forward to a full recovery. Payton also said that he decided to come forward with his diagnosis so that others will take government warnings about the virus seriously. Meanwhile, Boston Celtics guard Marcus Smart, two Lakers players, three members of the 76ers organization, and a member of the Denver Nuggets organization have all tested positive as well.
In a bit of a surprise move, the Los Angeles Rams released Pro Bowl running back Todd Gurley on Thursday. Gurley has been the centerpiece of the Rams offense ever since he was drafted number 10 overall in 2015, rushing for 58 touchdowns, which tied the legendary Marshall Faulk all-time franchise record. He was also a key member of the 2018 Rams team that made it to the Super Bowl. But injuries did slow down Gurley last year. Gurley has had a good attitude about it all, though, tweeting, quote, "Damn, I got fired on my day off. Hashtag quarantine and chill."
And finally, as if it weren't bad enough for Boston Red Sox fans who just saw superstar Mookie Betts traded to the Dodgers, the team announced Thursday that left-hander Chris Sale will have Tommy John surgery and miss the season. Sale has a career 3.03 ERA, but is coming off one of his worst years where he went 6-11 with a 4.40 ERA in 25 starts. Of course, we still don't know when or if there will be a season as the coronavirus pandemic continues to rock the sports world.
That's it for the week, everyone. Thanks for listening. Our producers are Caitlin Plummer, Chris Siegel, and Chris Olin. Editing and production by senior producers Lee Hernandez and Matt Straub. Fact-checking and writing by Ian Hurley. Sound design and mixing by Wydong Lin, Aaron May, and Joe Richardson. Our theme song is composed by Lindsey Graham. The executive producer of The Lead is Anders Kelto. Our editorial director is me, Kavitha Davidson. Our show is executive produced by Lee Hernandez, Marshall Louie, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Kavitha Davidson.
And I'm Anders Kelto. Stay safe, and we'll see you next week.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.
The drama.
They're having to be separated. They've both been shown the red card.
The entertainment.
And score!
The superstars.
Foden! Oh, yes!
What a goal.
Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. I'm Mark Chapman, and every week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
They have this dynamism and this quality that they can play anywhere. They need to prove themselves in scoring more and more and more goals.
I think if they don't win the title this year, the season is a failure in the league.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.